Well, good evening, church family. It's great to be with you. I love that song. One of my favorites that we sing before we hear the word. And I like to stop and listen to you guys sing that as a prayer. It's very meaningful and it's really, really good to be here with you and to be able to have the privilege to preach the word today. So we are going to hear ancient words, literally from the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in chapter 27. We're going to be one verse more than we were last week. So last week we're 27:17. This week we're in 27:18. And remember, through this series, we've been asking a question. How do we live wisely together in the fear of the Lord, so that our community becomes a tangible force, a recognizable reality for the gospel and building the kingdom of Christ in our area and beyond? How do we do that? And Proverbs is specifically designed to help us answer that question. It provides us insight. You're going to hear some of these things that I've been saying before in the last several weeks. It provides us insight on how to live skillfully under God and applying His truth, divine truth, with practical common sense from God's perspective. That's what Proverbs is helping us to do, and it gives us, Proverbs in particular, gives us this divine how-to manual for handling life both successfully and fruitfully. So that's what the book of Proverbs is designed for. And we've been talking about this definition of what does it mean to fear the Lord. And I keep repeating this definition because it's so important for us to understand this phrase, the fear of the Lord, because it's been greatly misunderstood both inside and outside the church. People outside the church hear fear of the Lord and they're like, see, it's all about fear and God's angry. It's not what it means. Sometimes we inside the church don't know what it means either. We think that's what it means. So here's a definition of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a reverent awe of God's transcendent, meaning it's beyond everything else, of God's transcendent holiness that draws us close to Him, doesn't drive us away. It's a reverent awe for God's complete, He's so amazing that He's in a category all by Himself. And that is so amazing to us, it draws us in rather than repels us. But it's also so significant that it produces a humble obedience. I will follow. I must follow. If He's that great and He tells me how to live, I'm going to live that way. It produces a humble obedience, a hatred of evil, a dread of resisting Him. Man, if He is the God of the universe and He knows everything and His wisdom is way beyond mine, I do not want to be on my side of wisdom. I want to be on His. So it produces a hatred of evil, a dread of resisting Him, and a joyful refuge in Him. Man, Lord, I just submit to You, and in You I am completely and utterly safe. And it's the starting point for true wisdom, Solomon tells us, and I love this, it's also the antidote to every other fear. If you fear something, the antidote for that fear is the fear of the Lord. And it's a fear that draws us close to Him and to all of His attributes. So as I go through sermon today, and then also as we continue next week, will be our final week. No, we got two more weeks in Proverbs. as we go through and you hear the fear of the Lord, it's what I want you, it's what we should be thinking about. And this fear of the Lord, therefore, shapes, guys, it shapes everything. It's literally a lens by which we look through all of life. It shapes our relationships. It should shape every task, every attitude that we have. It produces wisdom, and Solomon tells us, and this kind of wisdom, it results in righteousness and justice and equity. It produces a way that we treat each other here, and then those out in our community, it produces in us wisdom, and we act different. And Solomon intentionally chose these words. We've talked about these a few weeks ago. Righteousness, justice, and equity. Not just words like, oh, look at that guy. He's righteous, just, and equitable. But he treats people that way. He lives that way in his world. That's what wisdom does. And nowhere is that reality more practical than our daily work. Wisdom, in other words, comes out our fingertips as we engage in whatever God has called us to do as our daily task. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a dad in the office, somebody who owns your own business, a student, a child in your home, whatever your job is to do, wisdom is the practical application. The fear of the Lord shapes everything you do in your work. So in Proverbs 27:18, Solomon illustrates this, as he often does. Kevin, remember, started us off pretty early in with, go to the ant, sluggard, look at nature and pay attention and to learn some things. And Solomon does the same thing here in Proverbs 27:18, and he illustrates a wisdom lesson using practical imagery of something that would have been accessible and real to everybody in Israel, in ancient Israel at that time. And so here's what he says. Whoever tends to a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honored. Whoever tends to a fig tree will eat its fruit, and whoever guards his master will be honored. This is a proverb. Some people nowadays have coined this. There's a pastor over in Ohio. I don't think it originated with him, but he calls this kind of theological truth blue-collar confessionalism. In other words, this proverb offers kind of roll up your sleeves, get to work kind of wisdom. It's get your hands into your daily work, get them dirty. This is a very practical application, Proverbs. It's for employees in particular. It's for anybody who serves anybody. It's for every believer who labors under authority or who lives under authority. It's directed particularly at faithful workers, people who work and want to be faithful. Next week, we're going to talk about what it looks like to be a good boss, to be a good leader. But this week, this proverb focuses on what does it look like to be a faithful worker. That word bondservant that we opened with, it's most akin truly to employee. Bondservants weren't like slaves. They went home at night. They had their own families. They would come and go. It's very, very similar, although not completely, but it's very similar to an employee. So today I want to consider this imagery that Solomon gives to us. And then after we've taken some time to walk it through and meditate on it, we're going to consider some practical applications for us. Sound good? Okay. So let's pray. Let's ask for help. Father, thank you for this practical, these dense little proverbs that have so much wisdom packed into them and so much help for our daily lives. And we ask that you would not just help us to hear your words and play church, but to actually absorb your words and be your church, to act like your family. Not begrudgingly, joyfully. Because we fear you, as our definition helps us to see. And so we need you for that, and we ask for your help. Through Christ, we know that you've promised to give it, because we've already received everything in him that we need. And so we give you thanks. Amen. Praying because I thought this was over. Not yet. Okay. So here's our thesis statement. Here's our main point for today. In the fear of the Lord, the faithful worker diligently tends to his responsibilities and his master's interests and is rewarded and honored and build God's kingdom. In the fear of the Lord, the faithful worker diligently tends to his responsibilities and his master's interests. He's rewarded and he's honored and he builds the kingdom. So we could condense that whole phrase down to the kind of the title of the sermon, just faithful worker. So if you walk away today, you should be thinking, what does a faithful worker look like? And Lord willing, you should be able to pull up some of these things we've been talking about today. So let's jump into this proverb. Whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honored. So in biblical times, you may have seen this. Fig trees are talked about a lot. Why is that? Well, it's because they were everywhere. They were a precious commodity, and there was a lot of reasons for that. They provided like a really sweet, nutritious fruit. If you've ever had a fig tree, they're very good. They've provided shade from the heat. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus is walking with his disciples. They see a fig tree. They would often head to fig trees for shade and for warmth, but also for fruit. Fig trees are mentioned over 50 times in the Bible, and they often represent prosperity or blessing. Sometimes judgment. But fig trees, this is pretty true of a lot of trees, but fig trees in particular, given the climate, don't produce abundant fruit. They'll produce fruit, but they don't produce abundantly without attention. And so you might remember another proverb, a parable in the New Testament. There's a fig tree that's dying, and property owner says, cut that fig tree down. And the worker says, well, wait a minute. How about this? I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to fertilize it. And I'm going to do that for the next 3 years. And if it doesn't produce fruit, then I'll cut it down. And the boss man says, okay, we'll go with that plan. And so what we know from all throughout the scripture is fig trees, in order to produce an abundant crop, take tending. They take work. And so they required diligent, ongoing care, pruning, watering, fertilizing, cultivating. Brian Thomas could tell us all about this. He's kind of our resident tree guy, right? Plant guy. And if it was paid attention to and tended, most of the time they would produce lots of fruit. And this word for tend is the Hebrew word shamar. Usually I don't like to do that, but it's an important word, so we're going to talk about it. It's the Hebrew word shamar, and it translated tend. Sometimes in the King James, it's translated keepeth. But it's the same word used for tending in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 1:28. God put Adam and Eve in the garden to work it and to tend it. It's the same word. It's also the word for keeping the covenant. We just read the covenant of grace. It's the same word used there, to tend, to care for, to nurture, to pay attention to the covenant. And it's also the same word that's used in the original Hebrew for watching over your own soul, to tend to your soul. So to tend to a fig tree meant to protect it from pests, to keep wild animals or thieves, or to pay attention to it during times of drought, to prune dead branches away so that new growth could flourish. It meant watering and fertilizing and checking daily, especially around harvest. So when the fruit ripens unevenly, I was out in my apple trees the other day and they started growing some of these little web nets, and I had to start taking all them down. If I didn't do that, they would have destroyed my apple trees. And so you got to pay attention to them. I mean, you got to be investing time. This takes sweat equity and attention when no one is watching. And Solomon says, the wise worker tends to the fig tree, and when he does, the natural outcome is that he will eat its fruit. It's the way God wired the universe. And so the caretaker or the worker who tended the tree would eat its fruit, and the reward was natural and it was direct. You work, you pay attention, there's a reward. His labor, in other words, wasn't going to be in vain. So he enjoyed the fruit from the very thing that he nurtured and protected. Paul echoes this same principle in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, who plants a vineyard and doesn't eat of its grapes? Or who tends to a flock and doesn't drink milk? And what Paul's saying, it's obvious. If you pay attention to something, then you should expect to reap a reward. Now, we know from Proverbs that that's not like always, it means it's always true, right? So, but it's an axiom. It means it's most all of the time, it's the way it happens. But this first part about tending to this tree and expecting a reward is really important for us to understand the second part. But it is important for us to recognize, though, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this in a minute, that faithful stewardship always, always yields fruit in due season. Maybe not a fig, but faithful work always produces fruit in due season. So that's the first half of the proverb. Diligence in small, ordinary things produces tangible blessing. Laziness brings the opposite, and we've read plenty of Proverbs up to this point that proves that. But I did say that diligence in small, ordinary things produces tangible blessings. And notice I said it always yields fruit. And this is particularly true in this case in Proverbs, because ultimately, one day, Jesus himself will say to all faithful stewards, well done, I have not forgotten a cup of cold water that you have given in my name. Work done diligently with God in mind always, always produces fruit. So we can know that the faithful worker who tends to his responsibilities with God in mind can and should anticipate reward. We're going to see that in this next part as we get into some of these New Testament passages. But Vine and Branch, look at me. If you've ever worked for somebody, or you work for somebody now, you should be paying lots of attention, because this deals directly with you. How are you working? Are you faithfully functioning at your God-given task today, joyfully? Because this will help you in your God-given roles. Now the Proverbs turns the image to the second part, And it's this image of a working relationship. This guy isn't just tending to his own, like the apple trees in my front yard are mine, right? But this worker, he's tending to these figs that belong to somebody else. So the second half of the proverb is towards a working relationship, the worker with his master or his boss. And he who guards his master will be honored. And that word guard is actually the same word shamar. It's to tend. It's to pay attention. It's to anticipate. It's to cultivate. It's to care. And the worker who guards his master will be honored. So if you're laboring, if you're a worker and you're also listening, hear me. When you're diligent with God in mind and you pay attention to your work and to your boss, you will receive both the fruit, a double blessing, both the fruit that comes naturally from your job, and also you will be honored. You'll gain honor. And again, we'll see in a minute, because this ties directly to the Lord, it's always true, even if your boss is an idiot. Some of you just went, whew, because I got one of those. The faithful servant doesn't merely just show up for a paycheck. What I love about this proverb is it increases our aperture when we walk onto a job. It's not just about, I want to do a good job so I get paid. It's, I want to be more than that. I want to be a kingdom builder. I'm going to pay attention to my boss as if his things were my things. He doesn't just show up for the rewards. The faithful work guards or attends to his master's interests in the same manner that he tends to a fig tree. You getting this? Solomon wants us to see the wisdom, the practical, tangible way that you pay attention to a tree that gives you fruit should be the same way you attend to those who are over you. So what does this guarding look like in practice, this tending to your authorities, to your boss? It looks like protecting the master's reputation. Never speaking ill behind his back, even if he may deserve it. It doesn't mean collaborating with your coworkers about what a miserable situation you're in. It means stewarding resources as if they were your own. Time, tools, machinery, opportunities. It means working with integrity when you're unsupervised, when nobody's looking. You're not on your phone. You're not just paying attention when people are looking, not just for eye service. You're not cutting corners. You're anticipating needs. You're taking initiative when other people are standing around. You're remaining loyal even when the work is hard and the master is imperfect. That's what it means to tend to your authority, to your boss. And if you're thinking right, this applies to everybody. Moms at home, children at home, us in our workplace. And the result for the faithful worker is he'll be honored. And so honor means respect and promotion and trust and reward. And a good master, a good boss, will notice and elevate such a servant. I was looking for a backpack for our trip And somebody actually gave me one, and I was trying to exchange it for a different size, yada, yada, yada. And I called in, and I got this lady, it was Osprey Backpacks, actually very good backpacks. And I'm talking to her, and I'm asking her questions, because I want a particular kind with pockets and this, that, and the other thing. And she goes, just a minute, and I hear her set her headset down, and she runs off, and she comes back. And then she's starting to tell me about the backpack, and I ask her another question. Well, then there's this other version. She says, just a minute. I hear her headset go down. She runs off. She comes back. I said, what's going on? She said, oh, I got like four backpacks. I keep running to the back room and getting a backpack to try to make sure that you're getting what you need. I'm like, what? And so after, you know, you hang up the phone, you get one of those things, and I'm like, hey, I don't know who that lady is, but she needs a raise. Like, she just... Like, I will never buy another Osprey backpack from another outdoor company. Like, I'm calling you. Because that woman did such a good job. She just earned you a direct sale customer. See, a good boss, and I'm not her boss, but some boss ought to say, she's worth it. Here's a night and a bed and breakfast. Or here's a $200, or get backpacks for everybody in your family. A good boss will recognize that and honor that. Proverbs 22:29 reinforces this. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. And 14:35 says roughly the same thing. A servant who deals wisely will have the king's favor. See, faithful service of the worker, the faithful worker, benefits both the worker and the one he serves. He tends to the tree and receives its fruit, but he also tends to his boss or her boss and receives honor. So the faithful steward rejects this mindset of entitlement, rampant, and also laziness. And the result of not living that way is honor. Not because it's demanded, but because they deserve it. Because they've worked for it. Because there's a spirit that says, I'm going to give of myself for your benefit. But even when that doesn't prove itself true in the earthly realm, because some of you have labored for a long time under a boss that doesn't care, and it doesn't work out that way. Here, on earth, now. Although I will argue, if you continue that over your life, and as you change bosses, it will prove itself in time. But even if it doesn't, because the faithful worker works with God in mind, his efforts are always, always rewarded because God doesn't lie. Charles Spurgeon, he was a great preacher of the 19th century, preached an entire sermon on this verse, just like I'm doing here. Here's what he said about the faithful worker, and listen as he connects the faithful worker to his business, to also the work with connects his work with him having God in mind. Here's what he says. Just as whosoever keepeth the fig tree shall eat of the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Then he says, I'm going to leave the literal meaning of the words and apply the text to those who wait upon the Lord Jesus, having made him to be their master. For most certainly, as surely as he who keeps the fig tree shall eat of the fruit thereof, even much more certainly shall those who wait upon our great Master in heaven find a sweet return from their service, for they shall be honored by him. And Spurgeon is explaining that just as the worker tends to the fig tree and tends to his boss with God in mind, that we are called, church family, to keep and to tend to Christ. He's our boss, right? He's our master. We guard His name. Right? You're not just working for Cummins. You work for Christ. You work for the Lord. We defend His truth. We watch over His people. And we wait upon His order. And we anticipate His smile. And we anticipate His promises. And we wait for His perfect will. So the service that begins with tending a fig tree finds its highest expression in tending to the interest of our King Christ. This is a great picture of what it means to live in fear of the Lord in practical everyday living. And the honor that a good earthly master will give you for your work is only a shadow. It's a slight hint of the honor that the Lord will provide to those who faithfully work for Him. What Proverbs 27:18 reveals is that this is not merely good career advice. It's wisdom for living in the fear of the Lord. When we work, we do so ultimately before Christ. And this is practical, gritty wisdom on how to fear the Lord in a way that transforms our work to worship. You with me? This is practical, gritty wisdom on how we tangibly turn our fear of the Lord and make our work worship. This is affirmed over and over all the way through the New Testament. This was so encouraging to me. We read one of the verses, this first verse. I'm going to read it again out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 when we started. Listen for the faithful worker's mindset. Listen for how the faithful worker thinks about work. Bondservants or employees or workers, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, thus he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Bondservants, employees, faithful workers, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Titus 2, verses 9 and 10. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, not stealing little stuff off the top, but showing all good faith so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. You don't just work for Cummins. You don't just work for Porter Co. You work for the Lord. And the way you work for the Lord adorns the gospel of God. People say, that guy is such a good employee that I wonder what he believes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. He's talking to servants. He's talking to employees. You work for a lousy boss. He is unjust. You don't even know him. Your corporation is so big. The thing is so huge. Doesn't matter. You're not working for you name it. When mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For to this you have been called, for as Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example of how to gird up under unjust leadership, just like our leader did. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Let all who are under a yoke as a bondsman regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name and the teaching of God may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful. In other words, don't be overly familiar and take advantage or presume upon the goodness of your believing boss on the grounds that they are a believer. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and loved by God. You getting it? God is serious about this. And not just that. It's not like, be a good employee. He wants to breathe life into your work. He wants your work to be worship. And so notice the repeated refrain in these five verses. As to the Lord, fearing the Lord, mindful of God, as you would Christ. The Apostle Paul and Peter raised the standard. It's not like, you know, do your job. It's like, be awesome at your job. Don't just tend for the money. Tend your boss. Act like your boss is a family member that you love, that you want his best interests. Whether they're an imperfect and an unbeliever, or an imperfect believer, or when they're a brother in Christ, in this very church that you're working for, you are to serve with two thoughts in mind: doing your job well and tending to your boss. And pay attention to him with God in mind. Directly as to Christ, who is the leader of our kingdom. True? Is he? Yes, he is. Here's some practical guidelines for us. By the way, I was thinking a lot about this sermon. I've been thinking a lot about this series, and I feel like maybe it's a little premature as far as, like, I don't got a ton of people. We don't have a ton of people working for people. But then I was like, no, the Lord, this is previous, because we're coming into something. But as I was thinking about this, I also thought, well, maybe it's not that premature. I counted 10 people right now who have businesses, that own their own business, or their family owns their own business, or they work for themselves and their own people. 10 right here. And that doesn't include the 5 that have had businesses previous, or who are right now getting ready to start or trying to start a new business. So that's 15 in this. We got, what, 120 people here? That's a lot. And I actually think that number is going to grow. I think when we're this kingdom-minded, it's inevitable for us to grow. True, Ian? Yeah, it is true. We should pray that this number multiplies. Not for our sake, because it's going to push us as an economic powerhouse into our community where we can do good to people. We're giving it away, not for us, not to build our kingdoms, but to give it away. And not just here, but to Guatemala and to India and Uganda and to Peru and wherever else God puts us, right? And as businesses are created and expand in our church, they will continue to need employees who, in the fear of the Lord, will be diligent in their guarding and protecting of both their work and their boss. Can you imagine how awesome that will continue to be? When you get a company where people are just as much about their boss and working for this person as the boss himself? That's a community that's powerful for the gospel of Christ. Those people are doing something different over there. By the way, Bear Hardware, everybody over there already knows that about this church. It's happening. If you're an employee, especially if you work for a Christian, and especially, again, a fellow member of this church, hear this, your role is sacred. Like Paul tells Timothy, serve your boss all the better. Guard your boss's time and his reputation and his vision. Because when you guard a Christian employer's interest, you're tending a fig tree whose fruit will go out to other kingdom things. It'll help feed and sustain the church, support missions, and display the beauty of the gospel in our community. And this is how true believers relate to one another in the work environment. And even if your boss is not a believer, or the company feels unjust, it's not good and gentle, your calling remains the same. You're not primarily working for men. You work for the Lord with God in mind, and it changes everything. True? Young people, still at home, not employed, you little guys, listen up to Mr. Ruff. You're in a training ground. You're acting with your parents like you will your boss. And if you don't start now, you will have to later. And so it's good to get practicing now. The way you mow the lawn, the way you put away groceries for your mom, the way you reorganize the fridge when you're not asked, the way you fold the kitchen towels or put your laundry away. It matters. Don't just tend to your own business for you, little ones. Take interest in the good of your parents as unto the Lord. It will go well with you, Paul reminds the Ephesians, and you'll have a long life. Your life will be full. Tending and guarding the interest of your parents is ultimately tending and guarding the interest of Christ, little ones. And God promises, I'll reward that. And I've seen this over and over. This is thus thinketh Mr. Rob, not thus saith the Lord. But I think when you're little, he makes the rewards come faster and they're more tangible because you're little and because you need to learn. And he's very helpful with you. So here's some applications for us, okay? Two practical applications I want each one of us to take into our work, whether in business, in the marketplace, or at home. And the first application is attitude, and the second application is action. Here's one thing I would like for you to consider: your attitude. Joyfully work with God in mind. Begin to shape your mind around, Lord, I want to be a joyful worker because I'm thinking about you, and you say, you will reward me. Well done, good and faithful servant. I believe that's true, and I want to work joyfully as if it's true. Even when I don't feel like it, it's true. I'm going against my feelings. I'm going with your feelings and what you know to be true, and I am going to change my attitude to joyfully work with you in mind. So in your notes, I printed off this. You could write your own, but I wrote one for you in case you wanted to practice. Begin each workday with a simple, intentional prayer. Lord Jesus, today I tend to this fig tree. And then you can name the fig tree that you tend, right? I tend to this fig tree. I guard, and then insert the name of your employer or your boss. I guard my boss's interest as I would guard yours. Let my attitude be one of surrender. Whatever I do, may I do it heartily as for you. Father, today I present myself as an instrument of your righteousness, and I live for your favor on me. Just attitude. And here's an action step. Pray that prayer or write your own. Second application, action. Choose diligent, industrious work in the ordinary. Take extra steps without being asked. Speak well of your boss. Go out of your way for people to make business, the business that you work for, exceptional. Like the lady with the Osprey backpacks. She didn't have to do that. She adorned the work of Osprey backpacks. She made Osprey backpacks for me exceptional. And she answers the phone. I had a nephew that was coming into being an electrician, and he started way down on the totem pole. And he worked for me for a summer. Hardworking kid, really struggled with dyslexia, really, really had a hard time in school. I said, Cameron, when everybody else is sitting around, pick up a broom and sweep. Gather the wires, put them in the trash can, clean out the studs, even though it's somebody else's job. And I promise you, he said, Uncle Rob, that's the best advice I've gotten. And he said, but you know what? Everybody on the job makes fun of me for it. Yeah, because you're making them look bad. But you're making the kingdom look good. Then he told me that people were talking about his boss. He's 24 years old. You know what he does? He listens to Adventures in Odyssey and is... because it just keeps him out of all the business, everybody else's talk. He's being faithful. And you know what's happening? He's being honored. He's growing. Even with some imposed weaknesses, he's growing and he's being honored. Choose diligent, industrious work in the ordinary. Seek the welfare of your boss and your employer and their business. Hear me, joy is not natural, it's supernatural. And this kind of joy that comes from working with God in mind is supernatural and it gets recognized. There's something different about you. Yes, I work for the Lord. And his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And one day I'm getting rewarded for all of it. Yeah, but our boss this, I don't work for that guy. I work for the Lord, but I invest in his interest. Two action steps. Attitude, joyfully work with God in mind. Action, choose diligent, industrious work in the ordinary. And you will eat of the fruit and you'll be honored. Always, thus saith the Lord. And one day, Jesus will say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. Father in heaven, so amazing to me that we can take a verse with 11 or 12 words and be so filled with your wisdom and then also joyful hope and know exactly how to live tomorrow. This isn't arbitrary pie in the sky. This is, oh, that's how to live. And that's what happens when I live that way. And that's what God promises me. And that's the direction he gives. Thank you for giving us that kind of wisdom today. We want to be the kind of people that hear and obey, that we build our house on the solid rock. Let us not be like the man who built his house on the sand, who heard but doesn't obey. We don't want to be like that. So may the fear of the Lord fill our hearts so that in every workplace that we engage in, that this community becomes a testimony to the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ for your glory, Lord, and for our joy. We appeal to you to hear us and to help us in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.